So we have a full house this afternoon, members of the University of Toledo Opera Ensemble. They are visiting us here at WGTE to bring a little Benjamin Britten into the studio. They're performing the opera A Midsummer Night's Dream, based, of course, on the play by William Shakespeare. That is happening tomorrow evening, opens tomorrow evening, March 23rd. It also is Saturday and Sunday. So Friday and Saturday are at 7:30 p.m. Sunday is at 3 o'clock p.m. The performances are in the Dorman Theater at University Hall. You can find more information and tickets at utoledo.tix.com. So, as I mentioned, we've got some folks in here from the cast. We also have the opera director, the director of the opera ensemble. We have Denise Ritter-Bernardini, who is here. Hello, Denise.
Hi. Thank you for
Bernardini,
having us. Yes.
I guess I should say. And Wayne Anthony is here. Wayne is, what's your role in this? You're the rehearsal pianist? You're
Wayne
coaching
is the
folks?
Man.
You're the I've kind of been working as a coach and getting the vocal parts ready, but also we've been talking some staging. We've been talking a lot of Shakespearean meaning and things like that.
So you're the resident Shakespearean expert.
Well, I don't know if I'll say expert, but I've done it enough to know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I'll defer to you when it comes to Shakespeare.
Yeah.
But we also have some of the singers here who are performing for us today. In the studio, we have Paige Chapman, who plays the role of the fairy queen, Titania. We have Alana Scaglione. Is that how I say your name, Alana?
Yeah, that's right.
She's in the background back there. You're playing the role of Helena, and Moises Salazar is Lysander, and Meridian Prahl is Hermia. Now, these characters, there are lots of different groups of characters within this opera.
That's right.
A lot of stuff going on. Can you tell us a little bit about who these people are right here?
Sure. Lysander and Hermia are betrothed or engaged or wanting to be. Anyway, they're in love and they're wandering through the woods as people engaged are wont to be, right?
As people in love often do.
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, so actually Hermia and Lysander are running away together because Hermia is supposed to marry Demetrius, who is the love interest of Helena.
Yeah.
But because that's what they're from Athens and the Athenian law says that they must marry. So Hermia and Lysander are running away together so that they can be married. And Demetrius is following them, trying to take Hermia back. And then Helena is following Demetrius because she is very much in love with him.
So this is just one of the subplots.
Yes, there are three
and subplots. If you weren't confused before, now you are.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear some music from all of these groups of folks, but let's talk about Titania a little bit. You were the queen of the fairies, and you're going to sing an aria, right?
Yes.
Can you come in a little closer to the mic and tell us about that? This is Paige Chapman.
Yes, I play the role of the fairy queen Titania, and I will be singing her aria in the show called Be Kind and Courteous, and she's talking about Bottom, who she is in love with at the moment.
That's Bottom. Has he been turned into an ass at this point?
Yes,
okay.
He has.
An ass is in a jackass.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, he was already a jackass. Now he is wearing an ass's head.
Yeah. Famous plot twist. In Midsummer Night's Dream. But we'll let you perform that. Wayne Anthony at the piano. We are going to hear a soprano, Paige Chapman, performing music from A Midsummer Night's Dream by Benjamin Britten here on FM 91.
Be kind and courteous to this gentleman, up in his walks and gamble in his eyes. Feed him with
that's music from Benjamin Britten's opera, A Midsummer Night's Dream. We heard the aria Be Kind and Courteous, performed right here in our WGTE Dana Performance Studio. Soprano Paige Chapman with pianist Wayne Anthony. Paige is performing the role of Titania, or how would you say it? You say it Titania?
Yeah, we say Titania.
I'm going to say it every way possible during the course of this feature. It is A Midsummer Night's Dream happening at the University of Toledo. Opens tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. Also Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 3 o'clock at Dorman Theater at University Hall. You can find more information at utoledo.tix.com. So we have more music to get to, but let's talk a little bit more about this production and this opera. Denise Bernardini, I imagine this was your choice to do this opera, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a pretty ambitious thing to put it on
is.
At the college
level. Absolutely. It is probably the hardest opera we've done to date since my tenure. But we have some seniors that are leaving us and some very fine voices, so we wanted to give them a challenge. But we also have a faculty member who sings countertenor quite well. So
you're talking about Micah Graber.
Micah Graber.
Right? I had no idea that he sang countertenor.
It's quite beautiful.
For people who don't know what a countertenor is, you want to tell us?
So a countertenor is a male voice that sings in falsetto.
Yeah.
And sings very much like a soprano. And it was all the rage, you know, in early Baroque music.
Yeah.
And
but they were countertenor. They had been transformed into countertenors.
Deflowered,
it were.
I believe the phrase was Viva la cuchillo.
Yes.
Long live the knife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they were called the castrati, which gives you a clue as to what was done to them to get that voice. Nowadays, countertenors sing in falsetto.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And this role was written for somebody to sing in falsetto. It was written for Alfred Deller, I believe.
I think so.
The countertenor who sang it.
Yeah.
But it brings that unworldly quality. He plays the role of Oberon.
Yes.
The king of the fairies. Right. And to hear that the falsetto voice coming out of a man in this fantastical costume, because I've seen some of the pictures of the production, it adds to the whole atmosphere of the fairy world. But there are different worlds here. You also have the rustics and you have the lovers. And,
So this is one of those, you know, play within a play. And the rustics are trying to get together to have a gift, as it were, to the Duke and the Duchess on the night of the evening of the wedding. And they decide to put a play together. And so there's this play that they do as a gift. And all of them are in one of them is in drag. It's quite interesting.
I want to talk about the production itself, but first let's hear a little more music.
Okay.
Up next, we have Helena's aria. Is that correct? And Alana, you sing that. Do you want to lean down to the mic and introduce that for us?
Yeah. So the aria that I'm about to sing is Injurious Hermia. Right before this aria, she believes that she has conspired with Demetrius and Lysander to essentially make fun of her. Previous to this aria, Lysander has had the love potion dripped into his eyes. So when he wakes up and sees Helena, he's very madly in love with her instead of Hermia. Once Oberon realizes that that was done to him by accident, he then drips the poison into Demetrius's eyes. So then Demetrius is absolutely smitten with Helena as well. So she believes that her best friend, Hermia, has conspired with these two to essentially make fun of her. So this aria is basically calling Hermia out, saying, "How dare you," essentially, and then remembering fine times that they had when they were children.
You totally get extra credit for keeping that all straight. Because again, hopefully we're not going to be tested on that later. Well, this is music from Britain's Midsummer Night's Dream, Injurious Hermia, performed by Alana Scaglione, along with Wayne Anthony at the piano, here on FM 91.
Injurious Hermia, most ungrateful maid. Have you with these contrived to them? So with two seeming bodies, but one heart.
Music by Benjamin Britten, performed here in our Dana Performance Studio. We heard Alana Scaglione and Wayne Anthony at the piano performing Injurious Hermia. That's an aria from the opera Midsummer Night's Dream. That opera is being presented by the University of Toledo Opera Ensemble. It's tomorrow evening. It opens Friday, tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m., Saturday at 7:30, and Sunday at 3 o'clock. Tickets at utoledo.tix.com. I'm joined by some of the cast members of the opera. We also have Dr. Denise Ritter-Bernardini here, and we have Wayne Anthony. So, Wayne, you've been working with the students in preparing this opera. It's based on Shakespeare, and there are certainly specific challenges in bringing Shakespeare to the stage, and then you add the layer of music to it as well in Britain's opera. Tell us a little bit about that process and what you've been working on with the students.
Well, it's been really interesting because the music side of things, I think the students get very easily in terms of learning the line and the melody and the interpretation, things like that. Where we get into trouble is when we try to unlock the Shakespearean English. Mm. A lot of it is foreign to what students are used to singing and saying. So we've spent a lot of time talking about like the nuance of meaning in the Shakespearean phrase. The thing that I started out with that was the first statement I said is Shakespeare is all about sex. And I think okay. That kind of shocked a couple of people. But it really is. When we start to dig into the language, when you start to look at the language, everything is kind of a double entendre. And that's the beauty of it. That's what makes it so funny and so humorous and so appealing to the masses. So
yes, we're selling sex at
that's right.
Opera.
Yeah, that's human nature. I mean, can we just say that it's at a slightly elevated level?
Slightly. Sure. It is never blatant,
right.
But it is always subtly underneath.
Yeah. Well, I think Britain also does a good job of kind of drawing that out in his music. It's very suggestive. There's so many different moments in this opera that are suggestive of, well, for lack of a better word, cliches.
Yes.
There's a lot going on. Like when you have the whole Pyramus and Tisbe scene, it's kind of like making fun of Italian opera. The aria that we heard Paige singing reminds me so much of Menotti, you know, and I'm not sure if there's something going on there or not, but it's interesting to think about those things.
Well, in the middle of the play, there's a point where Bottom, who's the weaver, is playing Pyramus. And he breaks into an aria about fates and the Furies, and it's a direct quote straight out of Baroque opera.
Yeah.
Except with Britain harmony, which is just kind of amazing.
Yeah. But how has it been for you guys as students to learn the Britain opera and to face those challenges? Moises, you want to tell us a little bit about your experience with it?
Yeah, it's definitely been a challenge because it's so different from everything else that I've personally have done. You know, I love Puccini, so I'm always into that whole Puccini world there. And Britain is just a whole world, a different world for me, and especially with the English. A lot of it is Mr. Anthony was saying, it just takes a lot of time to decipher it, properly, you know, say what you're singing. Like, for example, in my duet with Meridian, when I come in, you know, I'm saying how her roses, her cheeks are like roses, but the redness has been fading. And it's just very poetic. And had I not sat down and actually looked at the text, I wouldn't understand what I was saying. So you do that with French and Italian and German to try to see, okay, this is what it's saying and this is what I need to interpret. But when you do it with English, it's a language that I know, but I don't know it because it's Shakespearean. So that was the challenge for me, was all of that, you know, background work that I had to do.
Yeah. It's interpreted to a certain extent with the music, but you have to have a strong idea of how you want to take the music and where you want the accents to go and that sort of thing, I imagine. You referenced that duet. That's the one we're going to hear, right?
Yes.
And you're going to sing the duet together. It's Hermia and Lysander. Do you want to introduce that duet for us?
So this is their first entrance in Act One. When they have been wandering in the woods, presumably to meet, they had a meeting time at night, and they're like, we're going to meet and we're going to talk this through. And they meet in the woods, and they're both very angsty about the fact that they're not allowed to be married, but they want to be so bad. So this is where they plan to run away together. And at the end, they've sworn themselves to each other. And there's a bit of irony where, by all the vows that ever men have broke, which happens in the next act, where he breaks his vow to Hermia and falls in love with Helena. So there's some irony in it, but it is just one of the most beautiful parts of the whole piece, I think.
Yeah. Music of Benjamin Britten performed in our Dana Performance Studio here on Afternoon Classics.
Thank you.
Music of Benjamin Britten from his opera A Midsummer Night's Dream. We heard the duet How Now, My Love, sung by the characters of Lysander and Hermia, Moises Salazar and Meridian Peral, two of the cast members of the University of Toledo Opera Ensemble's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream. That's happening tomorrow night through Sunday, so Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Tickets at utoledo.tix.com. It's happening at Dorman Theater, University Hall. And we're hearing some excerpts from the opera today, and a lot going on between these lovers. And somebody tell me that it all ends well, right?
Yes.
There's a happy ending. I don't think that it's a spoiler if we say that it's all going to work out okay. It's a big cast, right? You have a lot of people outside of who we have right here in the studio.
Yeah, absolutely. There's named fairies, Peace Blossom, Moth, Mustard Seed, and Cobweb.
Are those usually done by children, or are they? I think it varies.
Yeah, sure. Sometimes it's done by children. Sometimes it's done by I've even seen some production where it's all boys.
Yeah.
Or it's done by young sopranos. This happens to be sopranos.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's some unnamed fairies. And we have Leal Montessori choir there, as well as a Toledo area children's chorus who we have on stage. And then we have some gymnasts.
Really?
Yeah. And then the rest are
somersaulting around the stage.
Yeah, back handsprings and stuff. Yeah. And then the rest is visually a beautiful show.
Well, talk about the visuals a little bit. I've seen some pictures. I saw the photo shoot you did out in the woods behind your house.
Yes,
which showed off some of those wonderful costumes.
Yeah,
and I think I've also seen the stage, like the big moon.
Yes,
and
we have a 10-foot blue moon in the background.
Wow.
Yeah.
What happens to that moon when you're done?
It's going on my ceiling in my bedroom. Not really. I mean, we're going to keep it. We built it in a way that we can tear it down and roll the moon itself up and maybe rent it out if anybody wants to have something interesting at their home, I suppose. Or a production with the moon. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say that this is one of the more ambitious operas that you've done?
Since I've taken over opera, it's definitely the most difficult opera we've done. And I will say I did it not without worry and trepidation. But my mantra is, as an educator, that if you raise the bar, the students will meet it. If you keep the bar at a mediocre pace, they will not. And I just firmly believe that they are capable of anything you put in front of them. And that's not to say that I would say give them some big Wagnerian opera, right? Within reason, but certainly lots of schools do this, and certainly lots of regional opera does it as well. But we also try to help them build a resume. So it doesn't really do a student very much good when they graduate from an institution to have nothing but children's operas on their resume.
Yeah.
So it's also to help them have something that they can put forth in front of, people who are going to cast them.
You guys agree?
Yeah.
Yes. It's been very interesting working with the students on this because of the difficulty of it. It's been working like a group of sponges. Mm-hmm. It's like they've been so eager to learn anything they can to make what they're doing better. Mm-hmm. It's been such an enriching experience, I think, for everybody.
Well, as from the student perspective, I mean, when we all of us heard that we were going to do A Midsummer Night's Dream, like, okay, how's this going to go? Because, you normally don't have 3 months to put it all together, at least, if you're only focusing on that. But as students, we're like, oh my God, I got class, I got this and everything. And we're all just, worried how it was going to happen. But now seeing where we started to where we are now, I think we really pulled it off. And what's really great is what's happening behind the scenes is as students, we're supporting each other in the sense of like, hey, how do you think that went? Do you have any ideas? And then some of us kind of like, well, maybe you should try it this way. Or, we look at the text together. And I mean, every day we're adding something. It's just getting better and better every time. So it's kind of like every rehearsal, somebody adds that little extra, that makes it just that much better. And from just looking back to where we started, where we were like, oh my God, is this really going to come together? To where we are now, I think it's come a long way, and it's going to be a great show.
Well, that's part of the journey too. You were talking about singing in English and worrying about the words making sense and people understanding them. You have great diction, by the way, I want to mention.
Thank you.
And you all, I can understand everything that you all are saying, which is not a given in this day and age, especially with opera in English. Yeah. And Wayne, have you been working with them on their diction?
Actually, we've spent a lot of time on that and talking about it because it's very interesting with Shakespeare, the literally the inflection of the line and the way things are written. You have to look at it very carefully and say, what are the important words? What is the thought? Where is it going? Because it's usually not phrased. It's almost like Yoda speaking sometimes. Mm-hmm. Everything is in the wrong order from what we're used to, and you have to decode that. Yeah. And then as you sing it, you have to sing it with that decoding. And it's also got to be really clear so everybody understands what's going on. Yeah. Otherwise, you miss half the jokes.
I totally want to see Hamlet done in Yoda.
There we go. Challenge accepted.
So this is also an expensive opera to put on.
It is.
I mean,
yes,
poured a lot of resources into this.
The rights to the show were very expensive. But we are also talking about casting having a very large cast and costuming them, and then, you know, all of those things. It's extremely expensive. Now, one of the things that we do at University of Toledo, in the opera department is I don't have the resources that say the theater department has or other opera, like my alma mater at the University of Oklahoma. There is a opera department, but they have full-time costume builders and full-time set builders and all of those things. The opera director comes in and tells people where to go and you know, he's done. Yeah. That is not my life. I would love for that to be my life, but it is not my life. And the students pitch in. We sent home fairy costumes and said, get your hot glue gun out and here's a bag of flowers and go crazy.
Yeah.
And they did that. And we also spent yesterday building the set, and I had, you know, two or three. Yes, Moises is going me.
No, I'm saying it was supposed to be 20 minutes, which turned into
Moises. No, but it was great. Alana it was and awesome. Will Floss and Michael Graber. We were there from 11 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. You know, building and putting that set up and putting it together. So the students also. I don't know about you, but when I was singing regularly in opera, I would. Someone would hand me a prop and I'd be like, oh, how nice. I have a prop. You know, it never really dawned on me that somebody had spent the last 2 weeks making that prop for me. Right. And I want my students to really understand the effort and the time that people put into the productions that do not step out on that stage.
Yeah.
And to have mad respect for the craftsmanship that goes into set building and the craftsmanship that goes into costume and makeup and wig and those things, and to be appreciative of those people who make their art a spectacularly visual, right? So I think we do that well at UT.
Yeah, out of necessity, it was a great experience.
Yeah,
it's great for you to learn that and take that with you into the real world, as it were. And we have one more piece of music that we're going to hear now, and this is an aria from the character of Hermia, sung by Meridian Peral. What are we going to hear, Meridian?
Well, so this is the point after the duet when Lysander and Hermia have been wandering in the woods for some time trying to escape together. And they have fallen asleep because they're so tired, trying to get some rest for the next day. And at that point, Lysander has had the potion on his eyes and he wakes up and he falls in love with Helena, who has walked by, and they go away together. And then Hermia wakes up at this point and sings this aria and is just horribly alone and is just calling out for him and ends up following him, trying to reach him in the woods.
Yeah. Music of Benjamin Britten performed here on FM 91.
Lysander, Lord.
Music from Benjamin Britten's opera A Midsummer Night's Dream, performed here in our Dana Performance Studio. We heard Meridian Perall singing the role of Hermia and Wayne Anthony at the piano. The UT Opera Ensemble, University of Toledo, they're presenting that opera. It opens tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. It's also Saturday night at 7:30 and Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m. at Dorman Theater in University Hall. Tickets at utoledo.tix.com. We have a little bit more time to talk about some of the other characters in the opera that are not here. I know you have some guest artists, but also one of the biggest characters in the whole opera doesn't even sing.
That's right.
And that is the character of Puck.
Yes. So we have some guest artists. Devin Desmond plays Bottom. Jordan Lloyd plays Flute or Thisbe. Justin Bays plays Demetrius. And Mark Williams plays Quince. And then we have our Puck is actually a theater student at UT, and his name is Austin Rambo. And
is that his real name? Because that's a great name.
I think it's his real name. I think it'll be a stage name he can keep, right? Wow. Austin Rambo. And he's kind of built like Rambo, actually, a little bit, which you'll see because he comes out in nothing but pants. But anyway, he is not a musician, and so we made the decision to cut the music where he speaks rather than try to teach Puck how to read music and how to speak on time and with rhythm and very specific things that Britten took in. But we also cut some of the music of recitative and things like that. So you'll hear a lot of spoken Shakespeare if you come to this production, and as well as the sung things that Britten wrote. And Puck has done quite well, actually. He's a really young actor, so he's new to that. And this is his first time to do Shakespeare. And he's grown quite a bit over
Are you still using like the little trumpet flourishes when he runs around?
Yeah,
and that kind
those
of thing?
Are in there.
Yeah.
So, but he very much is, he was very enthusiastic, and he started looking at this role. He's been questioning a lot on the text. And at first, it started out being very kind of, I don't mean to say this badly, but airy-fairy. And then it was kind of like we had this discussion, and I kind of pulled him over, and I said, you know, Puck isn't a nice person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Puck is a little impish devil. And he, in many places, the way Britten has written the text and things, he is just one step this side of cuckoo.
Yeah.
I mean, obsessed and just Oberon. He's got this horrible, oppressive master over him, Oberon, and he's just trying, and he keeps making all these mistakes, and he just starts to lose it. And Austin, I mean, Mr. Rambo does an amazing job of that. He just, the more animated he gets, the more agitated he gets, his character and his characterization just turns very creepy in many ways. It's great.
Yeah, but I'd also like to say one last thing about the orchestration. We've chosen an orchestration that is a piano, a celeste, harpsichord, and a lot of percussion, and then flute, oboe, and clarinet. So it's a reduction in the orchestration, but it's a fun orchestration because there's so much percussion in it. So
yeah.
And our orchestra director, I don't want to leave him out, and that's Matt Forte.
Okay.
And he does a great job and chose the orchestration that we're using. So,
the opera opens tomorrow evening. It's Benjamin Britten's A Midsummer Night's Dream. That's at 7:30 p.m. tomorrow, Friday, March 23rd at 7:30 p.m. Also Saturday, March 24th at 7:30 p.m. And this Sunday, the 25th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Performances are at Dorman Theater, University Hall. Tickets at utoledo.tix.com. My thanks to everybody who came in and joined me this afternoon. Thanks to Dr. Denise Ritter-Bernardini from the University of Toledo.
Thank you.
Wayne Anthony, whom we know. You wear many hats in the musical community. It's nice to have you come in and perform for us and talk with us. And also to our singers this morning, Paige Chapman, Alana Scaglione, Moises Salazar, and Meridian Perall. Thanks to all of you for coming in and joining us. And best of luck, toy, 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 for tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.